Take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter number 4, please. Mark chapter number 4, and we'll start in verse number 35. I don't know how you do it here, but I just ask that you stand for the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter number 4, verse number 35. We'll read down through verse number 41. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. I used to try to tell jokes, but I'm not a joke teller, and I would always end up having to look at my wife and she'd have to finish it, and then it just kind of lost something in the translation, so I don't do that anymore. I did realize that you all are probably wondering why Pastor Dameron would ask me to come, and I've thought about that for 6 months now, and I can't figure it out myself, but I do know there's four people here that know me, and right now you're looking around thinking, who are those four people? And right now, two of those that I thought knew me are shaking their head, no, it wasn't me. It's not me that, so... praise the Lord. I do appreciate your hospitality. And I want to just say, keep standing. Not right now, but keep standing, because there's little churches like ours that need places like this to be able to come to for encouragement and help. And, you know, I don't get to come every time for preaching conference and empowered youth, but I know when I do get to come, I'm always uplifted. There's been times to where the invitation has been extended for my wife and I to come and just have a couple nights away and use the prophet's chamber. And I just want to say thank you for your sacrifice and giving so that people like us can have that. And I appreciate that. And you say, well, that's just kind of, superficial, isn't it? Well, sure, we're out there trying to win the world with give them the gospel. And I appreciate the work that you do in that. But I also just want to say thank you, because you work hard, you give, and you have a place like this. And, of course, Pastor Vogeland, all the years of faithfulness, and I can remember coming here back in the early 90s and thinking, wow, what a place. So I appreciate very much the invitation. Mark chapter number 4, verse 35. It says, "In the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he said in the hinder, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep in a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray, and then I'll let you be seated. Father, you are so good to us, and I thank you for that goodness. I ask that you would take this message tonight, speak to our hearts, draw us close to you. And I'm sure somewhere around this room there's somebody that is... heavy-hearted, maybe going through some things that maybe nobody else knows about. And I pray that you'd lift them up and meet that need and strengthen where strength is needed. And Father, I do want to ask also that if there is one that's lost, they'd be saved tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This passage of Scripture, and it was kind of neat, we just sang the song there about the tempest, that last song, and there was a phrase in that I want to look at just for a little bit. But, you know, it says here in this passage of Scripture that the Lord tells His disciples, let's go over to the other side. Now, you know, when God says to do something, you know what you do? You just go do it. You don't question. I learned a long time ago, you don't ask why. You don't ask anything. You know what you ask God? You ask God what? And when He tells you to do it, you don't ask any other questions. You just do it. But these disciples, they get in this ship and they start going to the other side. And it didn't go as smoothly as they thought it was going to go. And all of a sudden, the wind started waving around and everything started getting boisterous. And the wind's blowing, and the Bible says the ship was filled up with water. Now these guys, some of them, you could understand, these guys were afraid, but some of these guys were seasoned fishermen. You don't think that they saw some storms in their day and age, in their life and the work that they was doing, but yet these guys were afraid. And in this story, had they just got in the ship and went to the other side, they would have just done what God told them to do, but they got afraid right in the middle when the storms hit. And they asked this question. They said in the end of verse number 38, Master, Carest thou not that we perish? Could you imagine asking God, carest thou not that we perish? Now, you say, God, preacher, I would not say that to God. I wouldn't do that. But you know, hard times come, and maybe we have the attitude and we say, God, do you really care what I'm going through right now? Do you really care? Could you imagine asking God, God, do you care? Do you care? God, are you up there? Are you listening to what I'm... Do you see what I'm going through? God, do you really care what I'm going through right now? And the answer is, of course, God does care. And God does see what you're going through. But the Bible says here about these disciples, it says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Now imagine, if you would, what it would be like to ask God if he really cared. And you know, people get into circumstances where they get overwhelmed. Anybody in here ever been overwhelmed? I've been overwhelmed before. I think the first day I said, I do. Whoa. You know, overwhelmed. You know, it was good. I've enjoyed it. All these years of marriage is wonderful. But you realize real quick, well, I didn't know as much as I thought I knew. I remember the first time I answered the call to preach, and I went out there, and boy, I'm ready to go, and I started pastoring a church, and it's like, whoa, what did I get myself into? I thought this would be a little bit different. You get overwhelmed. You think, I can handle being a dad. I can handle this, and all of a sudden, kids start coming, and then they start getting old enough to ask questions, and you're like, whoa. I wanted kids, but I didn't want you to ask me any questions. Come on, you know, what are you doing here? You know, and then I say, go see the preacher, and they say, and I'm like, oh, I can't do that one either. You know, so you get overwhelmed. I mean, it just sometimes the ship is there, and it's full of water, and you feel like you're going down. Maybe finances get you overwhelmed. Maybe family problems get you overwhelmed. Maybe there's this guy at work that just won't leave you alone, and you're overwhelmed by him. Finals coming up. You're overwhelmed. Whatever the case might be, you're overwhelmed. Well, you know, the Bible has some things that are some truths that we can glean from that deal with being overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. Take your Bible and look over in Psalm 143. Psalm 143 and verse number 4. Psalm 143 and verse number 4. Psalm 143, verse number 4. The Bible says this. It says, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. Do you get that? Psalm 143, verse number 4. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. Have you ever been to the place like David is here? And we're not going to read everything, but I would encourage you, read the whole chapter later. But you're going to see that David is at a place to where he says his heart is desolate. His heart is like walking across the desert with no water. I mean, it is desolate. It is dried up. There's problems that he's facing. And the Bible says here about David, he says, I'm overwhelmed. I just can't take another day. And I'm going to tell you that what you need to understand about being overwhelmed is this. You will get overwhelmed. Now, I know that's deep. You all impressed now with my theological training, aren't you? You know, that you will get overwhelmed. David was overwhelmed. The Bible says that David was overwhelmed. It's going to happen. There's going to be times in your life that you just get, feel like you just got snowed under. But you're going to get overwhelmed. That's just a fact of life, is it not? If you're not overwhelmed now, then wake up tomorrow morning, you probably will be. But overwhelmed. Look in Psalm 142 and verse number 3. Psalm 142 and verse number 3, again, David here, and of course, you know, he's in the cave and he's hiding out, and the Bible says in verse number 3, Psalm 142, verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, now get this part, then thou knewest my path. Then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privately laid a snare for me. He says, when my spirit was overwhelmed, you know what? God knew his path. Now, there's two ways that we can look at that. One way is this. When you're overwhelmed, God knows the path that you need to go down. But I also want you to understand this. When you're overwhelmed, God knows. God knows. Sometimes we think, I'm overwhelmed. What in the world am I going to do? I can't. Where's it at? You know, somewhere I got to find this thing because I'm overwhelmed. I can't deal with it anymore. You know what? God knows. God knows you're overwhelmed. You know, sometimes we get in this little bitty bubble to where we think what God does is he puts us in this little bitty bubble and he puts this hedge of protection all around us and everything is going to be roses and peaches and cream and, I don't know, cherry Coke, what do you like to drink? You know, you say everything's going to be wonderful. Wonderful. But you know, when you get overwhelmed, we sit there and we think, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Listen, God knows. God knows. He does know. The third thing I want you to notice about this thing of overwhelmed is in Psalm 55. See, you will get overwhelmed. Understand that. God knows that you're overwhelmed, and he knows the path that you need to take when you're overwhelmed. But if you look in Psalm 55, and we're going to stay here for a few minutes, but in Psalm 55 in verse number 4, in Psalm 55, what's amazing about these is every single one of these psalms was written by David, obviously under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But in Psalm 55, look in verse 4. David says this, my heart is, what's those next two words? Sore pained. You ever been there? See, if I could have a pain in my arm, no problem. One day I was out there working on the roof. And I was, you know, just slapping those shingles down and gotten all, you know, getting that nail gun going and pow. And I took that nail gun, I'm on my knees, and I went pow, right into my leg. And I stood up and I get, and this is honestly, this is what I did. Oh man, I put a hole in my pants. I pulled the nail out, went back to work, and I sat there and I thought, why in the world, how in the world could I, you know, you sit there and I thought, how in the world could I do something like that? See, if it was just a pain in the leg, a pain in the back, a pain, my arm hurts, my neck hurts, we can deal with that stuff. But what do you do when your heart is sore pained? What do you do when you have a pain in the heart? I'm going to tell you, that can overwhelm you, can't it? See, it says, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. He says, sore pained. He said, terrors of death. Look at verse number 5. What's that first word in verse 5? Fearfulness and what? Trembling are come upon me. And what? Horror hath overwhelmed me. Boy, you look at what David is going through, and you see these things, how his heart, you know, he's just got this pain down in his heart and the terrors of death and the fearfulness and the trembling and the horror has overwhelmed him. And he's sitting there and he says, you know what I wish I could do? What I wish I could do was run away and hide. You ever wish you could just run away and hide? See, because the Bible says in verse 6, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. I wish that I could just be like a dove that flies away and goes up there and goes out into the wilderness somewhere. Verse 7, lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I'd just be like that dove that would fly off into the wilderness and nobody would ever be able to hurt me again. Nobody would ever be able to touch me again. Nothing would ever be wrong and I would just hide away and everything would be fine. And I'm going to tell you right now, running from something is never the answer. It never is the answer. If you're overwhelmed, you're overwhelmed. You know what you feel like doing? You feel like running away and hiding. Now you understand this. You will be overwhelmed. God knows. And sometimes you just feel like running away and hiding. Running away. Now I was always taught, you face your problems head on. Somebody has a problem, somebody, there's something, you just go face it. Because it's not going to go away. It's not going to get any easier. And the more you get overwhelmed and the more the ship, listen, I can sit there and get in the ship and say, well, Jesus wants us to go over on the other side. And Peter looks over and says, hey, James, should we tell the Lord there's a leak in the boat? Nah, we'll make it. I mean, could you imagine doing something like that? But yet we in our lives, that's what we do. That's what we do sometimes. Well, you know, I know that's a problem right there in my life, and I know I'm struggling with that, but you know what I'm going to do? I'll fix that later. And so then that doesn't get fixed. And then another problem comes up, and that doesn't get fixed. And then there's another problem, and next thing you know, you're overwhelmed and the ship is sinking. You know what you do? Instead of running away from it and hiding, you deal with it right then. Now you sit there and you say, preacher, that all sounds good and that's fine, but what does that mean for me tonight? What can I get out of this? What can I get? Well, the Bible gives us, I think, three simple things that you can do when you're overwhelmed. See, the David says in verse number 6, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. But he says in verse number 14, look at this, verse 14, it says, we took sweet counsel together. Boy, it was a friend of his, and they took sweet counsel together, and we could get into all that, and of course, and the problems he had with that friend. But that aside for a second, look at verse 40. We took sweet counsel together, and look what they did, and walked unto the house of God in company. You know what I say you need to do when you're overwhelmed? First thing you need to do is this, go to God's house. You get overwhelmed, go to God's house. You know what my experience is? My experience is when somebody gets overwhelmed, that's when they lay out. And I sit there and think, that's when you need to be here the most. Why is it the time that you need God the most is the time that we run away from God? Go to God's house. You say, but preacher, if I go there, then I feel like a hypocrite because I walk in and go, how you doing? I'm fine. The wife's fine. The kids are fine. My job is fine. And I feel like I'm lying. Well, don't lie. Just walk in and say, I guess, leave me alone. What are you doing bothering me for? What's your problem? No, don't do that either. But you know what you do? There's times in my life I've felt overwhelmed. And I've never felt like skipping church. But there's been those times where I thought, maybe I just call in sick. They won't miss me this one week. They'll understand. And if you've ever had those little bitty nagging thoughts in the back of your mind, you say, well, I've never acted upon it. I didn't say you acted upon it, but maybe the thought's been there. Those little bitty nagging thoughts. How many times have you been in those positions? You go to church and you walk out and you think, boy, it was good to be there today. You walk in dragging and you walk out bouncing. You walk in down and you walk out smiling. How is it that that happens? Go to God's house. You get overwhelmed, go to God's house. Look what else David did here. Not only did he go to God's house, but if you look in verse 16, it says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Not only go to God's house, but how about this? When you're overwhelmed, go to God in prayer. Say, preacher, I thought you was going to give me something different than what you're giving me. Well, probably if I gave you something different than what I'm giving you right now, I would have about five different men escorting me out, because then it would be some kind of new doctrine. You're overwhelmed. You know what you do? Go to God's house. Go to church. You know what you do when you're overwhelmed? You know what you do? This is what you do. Pray. Go to God in prayer. Go to God in prayer. You know what I hear? I hear people talking about prayer. I hear people that have prayer requests. We come and, you know, on Wednesday night and they'll say, pray for Aunt Susie that, has a hangnail in their little bitty toe and it kind of sliced up the other toe. And I thought, boy, if they'd lose about 80 pounds, then the toe wouldn't be rubbing against the other one. But, you know, I don't say that. But, you know, they sit there and they have all these different things. And I thought, it's good if you have prayer requests. And it's good to go to other brothers and sisters in the Lord and have them pray with you. But you know what you need to do? Pray. Get on your knees before God and pray. Go to God. Get on your beside your bed and pray. Grab your wife's hand and kneel down and pray. Grab your children's hand, kneel down and pray. Go somewhere privately and pray. Get up in the middle. Well, I can't get up in the middle of the night. You know, I have to be at work at 5 o'clock in the morning. Oh, because work is way more important than praying to God. Sleep is so much more important than going to God in prayer. Go to God in prayer. He said, preacher, I already know all this stuff. That's good. I'm glad. Then I guess I'm only preaching to me because I need it. Because when I get overwhelmed, I need to be reminded, go to God's house. When I get overwhelmed, I need to be reminded to go to God in prayer. Not just talk about prayer, actually pray. Well, I prayed 3 times this week. Evening, morning, and at noon. Well, that's good. Now you ate and you prayed over each of your times where you ate. How about we pray some other times as well? You know, we're not taught. David didn't say, boy, at breakfast time I prayed. And at lunchtime I prayed. And at supper time I prayed. That's not what David's saying. David says, man, I got alone with God and prayed. Talk to him. You need to spend time with God. Who's the one that you think can answer prayers? Well, I just go to the preacher. Hey, great if you can go to the preacher. That's a wonderful thing. The preacher's there. But what are you going to do if the preacher's not there? Well, I just go to my mom or my dad. They know what to do. Well, what are you going to do when mom and dad's not there? Well, I just go to one of my teachers. What are you going to do when the teacher's not there? See, at some point in your life, when you're overwhelmed, you will end up by yourself and there will be no other human being there to help you. What are you going to do then? You know what I say to do then? Go to God in prayer. You go to God in prayer. Now listen, if you're overwhelmed, David was overwhelmed. He talked about going to God's house. David, he talked about going to God in prayer. And you know what, David, if you look in verse number 2, the Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He says there, cast thy burden upon the Lord. And I say, if you're overwhelmed, go to God's house. And if you're overwhelmed, go to God in prayer. And if you're overwhelmed, give your burden to God. Give your burden to God. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. I'm going to tell you, when I cast something, I don't ever intend that I'm going to be the one catching it. Does that make sense? You know, this is the time of year for snowballs. And if ever I would possibly, I'm not saying that I ever would do this, but if ever I would stoop down and grab some snow and pack it into a ball and wait until somebody's back is turned and the back of their head is exposed, I'm not saying I would actually do this now, but if that situation arose and I threw a snowball, I'm not expecting that I'm going to go be the one that gets hit in the back of the head. You know what I'm doing? I'm releasing it from me and casting it away. It just so happens somebody's head was in the way of that snowball. Well, you know what? We need to take the burden that God, take the burden that we have, and you know what we do? We cast it to God. Give it to Him. You say, I've done that. I've come to altars and I've prayed and I've asked God to help me in situations. I've prayed at my house. I've prayed in my car. I've driven down the road and prayed. I've been in a parking lot and I prayed. I've sat in offices and prayed. The pastor's prayed with me. This mom and dad has prayed with me. This person has prayed with me. You know what we do? We don't cast the burden. We carry the burden from person to person and ask them to pray for us. That's what we do. I got something heavy in my heart, so I run to Pastor Vogelin and say, can you help me with this? And he prays. And I run to Pastor Dammer and say, can you help me with this? And he prays. And I run back to my mom and I say, Mommy, would you help me with this? And she says, get lost. No, she prays. I run over to a friend of mine. Can you? And she pray, and they pray, and I run over to another priest, and they pray, and I run all over creation, going to people and praying. And the whole time, you know what I'm doing? I'm taking the burden that God, or excuse me, the burden that I have, and I take that burden, and I'm putting it on my shoulders, and I'm keeping it right there because, I don't know, maybe I get sympathy from people. Maybe people are feeling sorry for me. Maybe they sit there, and I sit and I carry that burden everywhere I go, and I sit there and think, God must not be strong enough to answer my prayers because I still have the burden. And you know what God says? Take the burden, wash it up, throw it, and give it to God. I'm not carrying it anymore. You know why? I'm not strong enough to carry it. I can't handle it on my own. I can't do it. And if you can't do it, cast your burden upon the Lord. Isn't that what the Bible says? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. It's God, the one that can help you. You say, what do I do when I'm overwhelmed? Well, when you're overwhelmed with some situation in life, maybe it's a health crisis that you're in. I don't know. Maybe you have some financial need in your life. You're sitting here. What do I do? I don't know which way to turn. I don't know where to go. I can't answer your specific problem, but I do know this. You go to God's house. You go to God in prayer. And you cast your burden upon the Lord. I do know that. Look in Psalm 61. Psalm 61. The Bible says in verse number 2, says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. You know what David says? He says, I don't care if I'm all the way at the end of the earth. Maybe you and I had to put it this way. I'm at the end of my rope. There are no other knots. There is no other place to go. There is nothing else I can do. I have no other way. David says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. And you know what God does? The Bible says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, I'm so glad that Jesus Christ, who is our rock, the anchor of our soul, my keeper, my shield, my strength. He's there. You get overwhelmed? I'm going to tell you, when you're overwhelmed, let God handle it because He can. You say, preacher, this is Christmas season. You know what? We can sit here and we could have a Christmas message. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what I see? I see a bunch of people that are smiling. And they're running around the stores buying gifts. And they're charging up their credit cards. And they're going into debt, which I believe is wrong. And they're going out there and doing all these things, and they're hiding their grief behind gifts. Well, if we could just have this Christmas be fun, if we could just have that gift to make it fun, that's like, and I hate to use this as an example, but that's like somebody that's on a diet saying, after this meal, I'll start eating right. You know, I'll start running December 22nd or December 26th. When you're overwhelmed, you don't put it off. Go to God's house now. Go to God in prayer now. Cast it upon the Lord now. because he can help. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please.